And I want to apologize because I had some phone calls this week, and I want you first of all to know I'm very glad you called. I'd want you to know you could call any time, any of you that have a concern, or something didn't seem right, or it didn't sit right, or it was a misunderstanding. I wanted you to know that I do not think that it's proper to make fun of anyone. And secondly, I want you to know it was not my intention to make fun of the individual, but only to relate to you the story and what happened in my situation at that time. I also wanted you to know that I did not go into great detail of the story because there was so many other things to share. This individual had a driver's license, drove a car, lived in an apartment, paid their bills, and they would act at times on the job. This was not just my observation, but lots of others that worked there, as though there was something wrong with them. But when others were not around, and when it was just me and this individual would be very antagonistic, and it was quite deliberate. But I wanted you to know that none of my actions that I did in that situation were right. And I wanted to apologize and let you know, if you went away offended last week, please forgive me. The last thing in the world that I ever desire to do is to inadvertently offend anyone coming here, and especially in that type of a situation. Sometimes I share things. For example, a few weeks ago, I shared with you a statistic about single parents and their children. I know that there's many of you here that are doing the very best job that you can at your single parenting. And I wanted you to know, and I shared this with you a few weeks ago, that Evergreen is home for anybody. It was intended to be that way. I was only trying to illustrate a social difficulty in light of Scripture. I got some phone calls on that. I received a letter from an individual who felt very offended. I gave them a personal phone call and worked it all out. And I would gladly do that with anyone else that you know. So I want to ask you to forgive me. And I'm very, very sorry if any of you went away offended by that or by my dramatics or my ignorance. I'm very sorry. So tonight's going to end this series. And then you won't hear from me for a while. So, you may like, some of you may like that, some of you may not. But anyway, I want to talk to you tonight about the most important decision that you can make in your life. And I entitled this, The Opportunity of a Lifetime. I want you to ask yourself for just a moment, what you would do right now, what you would give to have been one of the investors in Rollerblade just a few years ago when they started. I was on the airlines the other day and I was reading in the Northwest Magazine about the guys who started it in their garage. And how they were two ex-hockey players and they wanted to design a skate. Actually, they designed it to work out with for hockey players. And they were assembling them in their garage and traveling all over the country selling them. And within just a very few short years, they became millionaires and they sold the company a few years ago. One of them did for several million dollars. And now he's got another company making similar skates. Or what would you give to have been involved with Bill Gates? What would you have given to have someone come up to you and say, if you just take $1,000 of your money and invest it with me now, and in 10 years I'll return to you $1 million, what would you give for that? A few months ago I was reading about the individual who started the Nike Corporation. And I thought to myself, what a deal. Man, could you just imagine? Some people have all the luck. That was the first thing that I thought of. I tend to think those ways too, you know. I'm just like everybody else. And I think, wouldn't it have been interesting? Wouldn't it have been phenomenal if I would have thought of it? Or if I would have had the opportunity to have gotten involved on the bottom of that and invested a few... Or I think about our grandparents. Or some of our grandparents. I think about mine. Who's able to buy land at $1 an acre and turn around and sell it for thousands of dollars an acre? The money that could have been made. And I think to myself, what would we give for those kind of opportunities? My father used to tell me, Mark, he said, opportunity only comes around once in a lifetime. You want to make sure your eyes are open and you're ready to jump when it's time to jump because it will pass you by. And I've thought about that a lot. What I want to talk to you about tonight, to me, in my view, and I think you'll understand by the time I'm done, is by far and away the greatest opportunity that you or I could ever have in our lifetime. In fact, it is the greatest opportunity that any human being, man, woman, or child, could ever have. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Once in a while, it will come around more than once. It's always the same one. And it's always important, it's always very crucial that you very carefully think about this decision because it affects everything else in your life. We talked the first week about your choice, about accepting responsibility for your choice. We talked about deciding who you're going to follow. We talked about going for it. We talked last week about preparing and preparation. And we talked about perseverance, but all those things go for nothing if you fail to take advantage of this opportunity. Let me explain to you what it is. Jesus said this, "What would it profit a man if he gained everything in life but lost his soul? What would it profit a man or a woman or any person if they gained all the world had to offer to them, if they gained all of the material things that life had to offer? Let's say for a moment you were on the bottom of Rollerblade. You had invested the money and now you've got 5,000 stock, 5,000 shares in the company. And you're sitting real pretty for life. Well, what would it matter if at the end of your life you died and you spent an eternity without God? And your life ended there?" God asks us that question. And I want to talk to you tonight about what God wants to give to you. All along, I've been leading up to this. What God wants to give to you. God has set everything up. Some of you have been here before, have heard me share this before, you're going to hear it again. God has set everything up in the world so that He could be generous with you. God has designed all of the universe. He's designed this whole planet. And He designed the scheme of things so that He could be generous with you. So that He could give you eternal life. So that He could give you abundant life. So that He could give you real life. Now most people, when I look around, most people that I see day after day, that I see on the news, that I see at the mall, that I see drive by my home in the streets, that I meet at the grocery store, do not possess real life. They possess human life. They exist. They go from day to day worried and bothered and harassed, but they do not possess real life. In fact, very few people that I know possess eternal life. Very few people that I know are positive of where they're going to spend eternity. You see, when God made you and I, He made us eternal beings. We exist forever. We live forever. And life cannot be had apart from God. All that we can experience apart from God is death. All that we have apart from God is death. If you look at our society, if you look at our planet, it is dying. If you look at mankind and civilization as we know it, if you look at humankind, it is dying. God possesses life and He wants to give it to us. He wants to share it with us. But God has set parameters for life. You're born at a specific time that, believe it or not, Psalm 139 tells us God chose. And you die at a specific time that God chooses. But what goes on in between often is a result of what you choose. And what will happen after you die will be a result of what you have chosen during your time on earth. It's as simple as that. You either decide Christ now and embrace Him now and embrace the life that He wants to give to you, the life that He came to tell us about, or you embrace death. And your life will continue existing under the death principle. Your life will never know the abundance of God. Your life will never know the blessing of God. Your life will never know the joy of God. All you will know is the temporal happiness that things bring. Except they leave you always wanting more. And they leave you always desiring more. And then one day, our time comes. Mine will come, yours will come, just like everyone comes. And it will come, and we will die. And our life will be over. And then, no matter what you decided in life then, you will know for sure that God exists, just like you heard at Evergreen. Just like you heard from Billy Graham. Just like you heard from a variety of other pastors in churches or literature that you've read. Because you'll meet Him face to face. Your decision for Him will already have been made. You won't be able to decide, oh my gosh, there He is, He's alive, okay, I believe. You won't be able to do that. You will live with the decision you made for the rest of eternity. And that decision apart from Christ will be to spend all of eternity apart from God. There will be no joy, there will be no pleasure, there will be no feeling of happiness and peace and tranquility, but an eternity apart from God. An eternity the Bible refers to as hell. Some people believe in the literal description of hell in the Bible. Some people believe it's meant to express the total depravity of our eternal existence. However you think of it, it's a reality. I had a friend one time tell me, Mark, you expect me to accept that a God of love is going to send people to hell? I said, no, I don't expect you to understand that. Here's what you need to understand about this principle, about your destiny. Let's suppose for a moment that there's a swimming hole you used to swim. You're very familiar with that swimming hole. One day you went to that swimming hole or that lake or that pond, whatever, and there's a high wire fence all the way around it. It says, danger. Danger, danger, danger. Enter at your own risk. Severely polluted water. This water, contact with this water, will kill you. You think to yourself, I don't believe it. I don't believe the sign. I know this water. I'm familiar with this place. So you climb over the fence, you dive in, you come back out, come over the fence, you go home that night, and you die. Oh, it's the government's fault. They didn't clean it up. Why? It's someone else's fault. They should have held me back. No, it's not. It's not anyone else's fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. That's what I'm talking about. Ultimately, the choices of our life all come back to us. All of them. They all come back to us. And God will hold you to your decision. God will hold you to your decision. You know why? Because He does everything He can throughout your lifetime to lead you to His Son. He's done everything He can to give you life. First He made you, but we don't believe that. We spit in His face about that. Then He tries to save us. He tries to work in our life. He tries to show us the proper way to live. He tries to show us in real happiness. He sends His Son to pay for our wrongs. Now you may think to yourself, you may think, you know, I don't really need God. You can think that. That's your decision. You know, I'm going to share this with you tonight. You can decide anything you want in life. You can do whatever you want. You can decide to reject God, and you can decide to believe that Jesus is a myth, and you can decide to believe that it's all a lie. You can decide to believe He never rose from the dead. You can decide to believe that God is a myth. But that's your choice, and you'll live with the choice. And we see a country, we see a country right now, called the former Soviet Union. I have friends that have been there sharing with those people that have been told for years that God was dead. God was dead. God was dead. You should see them stand when my friend goes over in huddled masses listening to the message that I'm here telling you today, that we fall asleep. And we decide not to believe. And we decide to become apathetic and complacent and lethargic. We've got the greatest news in the world. And that's God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. God's desire is to bring you into His family. God's desire is to forgive you everything you've ever done. God's desire, He's done everything except make you make the decision. He sent His Son. He killed His Son. His Son paid for all of our debt. He died for all of our wrongs. Every single one of them. As I've been talking about choices, many of us may think to ourselves, boy, I wished I'd made different choices. You can make them now. God can change your life starting today. He can begin the healing process in your life today. You can know for sure tonight that your eternity is going to be with Him. You can know for sure tonight that you're going to live forever. That was God's plan. That's God's desire. The Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All repentance means a change of mind. That we decide to change our mind about God and about us. See, the biggest problem that I see in most people that I encounter as I counsel people is they're never willing to admit they're wrong. They're never willing to own up. They're never willing to say, you know, I was wrong. I did that wrong. Or my life, I lived it wrong. Or I lived in rebellion. I had so many people tell me this. Mark, look, I'll ask them, I have regular conversations like this. Do you know Christ? Well, I'm a good person. No, you're not a good person. Did you know that? Did you know that God does not consider any of us, myself included, Mother Teresa included, good people? In and of ourselves, we're not good people. We're diseased people. We're raunchy people. We're depraved people. We're cruel. We're heartless. We're cold. We're calculated. We're selfish. We're self-centered. We live for ourselves. We don't live for God. The first commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. We don't do that. We barely even notice God, let alone love Him, let alone give back to Him, let alone serve Him, let alone follow Him, let alone adore Him, worship Him, and acknowledge His supreme right to our life. We don't do that. We make up other gods. Our whole world makes up other gods of all different varieties. They might be a god you put on your little fireplace, and they might be a god that you have in your bank account. They might be the god of pleasure. They might be the god of hedonism. They might be the god of philosophy. But whatever it is, it usually is not the God of the Bible. It's usually not the one and only Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that when He returns, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord, that He is God. Except then it'll be too late. You see, to walk into the mere presence of God is to bow and admit He is God. Except then you won't have a choice. Then all the choices will be gone. It'll simply be as though you were wrestling Hulk Hogan. You had no other choice but to say, Uncle. You'll have no choice if you lock hands with Him to go down to your knees. Well, God won't even have to lock hands with us. It'll simply be the first moment that we behold His glory. We'll be down on our knees because all creation must worship the Creator. But now, until we die, it's all voluntary. It's all a matter of the will. It's all a matter of what you and I decide to do with God's Son, Jesus Christ. I was reading today the simple words that I've read so many times in John 3:16. It said God loved the world so very much that He gave His one and His only precious Son. That whoever would embrace Him and believe in Him would never die but have everlasting life. Full and rich. For God didn't send His Son into the world to judge and to point a finger and to condemn, but to bring life. Whoever does not believe in the one and only Son already has the sentence of death on his life, for he has not believed in the one and only begotten Son of God. And those verses go over and over and over and over and over and over in my mind. The whole purpose of this church is to bring that message to the world. It's a message they so desperately need. Because the message is only representative of the person that we need. We need God. We need God's love in our life. We need God's power in our life. We need God's strength in our life. We need God's mercy in our life. I look back on my own life and I really shudder to think where my life would be today without God. I shudder to think where my life would be today without Christ. But I don't have to wonder very long. All I have to do is open the newspapers, watch the television, and look at the pervasive mentality of my society today and realize that, but by the grace of God, there I would go as well. I think back on all the healing that God has done in my life, and the relationships, and my marriage, and my family, and my loved ones, that I had destroyed without God. I had made a mess of without God. And I remember that time inviting God into my life, and that healing process instantaneously began. I remember the first thing the Lord changed was my relationship with my mom. First thing He changed was the way I viewed my mom. Now, I always viewed my mom's religion and her harping and her nagging, which wasn't really nagging and harping, it was love. I viewed it as harping and nagging. I didn't like it and I didn't like her. And I left home without ever saying goodbye. And I remember the first thing, I'll never forget this, coming back home after I had made this decision for Christ. And I knew at that moment God had come and lived in my life. Because that's what the Bible says He does, you see. That's what it means to be born again. God comes and He takes up residence in your life. The Holy Spirit of Christ comes and lives in you and He'll never leave you. And He instantaneously changes you and all of a sudden you begin to experience these changes. They don't all happen at once. He's there, but you know some old habits are hard to break. But I remember going home, and it was late at night. And my mom was already in bed. And the next morning, it was Sunday. I had not been to church with my mom in 7 or 8 years. I got up real early. I got on my clothes and I went up and sat at the breakfast table because she was always the first one up. And she was fairly stunned to see me at the breakfast table on Sunday morning and having my shirt and tie on. And I said, "Mom," I said, "can I talk to you this morning for a minute?" And she was kind of beside herself. I don't know if she knew what was coming. And she sat down. I said, "Mom, you know, I'm an emotional person." And I just began crying. And I said, "Mom, I want to tell you something. I am so thankful to you that you never quit praying for me, that you never let up on me. And, you know, last night, I got right with God. I wanted you to be the first to know, and I also want to ask you to forgive me for the awful way I've treated you, for the disrespect that I've shown you. The Bible says to bring fruit with your repentance." I knew God had made a change in my life. That was the first of many of those kind of situations I had, because I was the oldest of six. I had a lot of siblings to sit down and talk with as well. And my father. And old girlfriends and friends that I knew and relationships that I'd ruined. There was a difference in my life because Christ comes and lives in our life. I didn't want to go do those things. That was not my natural reaction. But God had made a change inside of me. And God has been changing me in these last 18 years ever since. Working in my life. John was mentioning early in the scripture reading what a wonderful marriage he has. And he does. And God has blessed him. But you know why God has blessed him? Not only because he asks his hand to marry him, but because he decided long before that to follow Christ, to embrace Christ. You see, without Christ, life is not possible. It is impossible to have lights without electricity other than fire. Okay, just humor me for a minute. Or solar heat, okay? It is impossible to have life without Christ. They are synonymous. They're inseparable. The kind of life Christ came to give us is real life, abundant life, not dependent on our circumstances, on our money, on our success, but dependent on Him. The security that God comes to give us does not depend on how well our portfolio has been planned out, but on the unshakable promise of Christ. You see, tomorrow, if the world falls apart and there are individuals who believe that we are going to have an incredible economic earthquake in this country before the year 2000. I don't know if we will or not. I'm not an economist. But there are those who believe that this economy is going to come crashing down. When I tell you something, it doesn't worry me. Why? Because I'm rich? No, I'm not rich. I'm not rich in the least. Because I know in whom I've believed. I know that God is bigger than my world. I know that God is bigger than my difficulties. I know that God loves me, He's in me, He's for me, and He doesn't lie. And He keeps His word. And He's done it in the last 18 years in the arena of life, in the difficulties that I've gotten myself in. I have watched God work them for good just like He promised. I'm not afraid to die. That does not mean I'm not afraid of being hacked up in little pieces. I don't look forward to that. I wouldn't want to drown and I wouldn't want to burn in a fire. Pain does not excite me. I'm telling you, I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid of what's ahead of me because I know it waits for me. And for all those who embrace Christ, heaven waits for you. An eternal home whose foundations are set forever. You see, this world doesn't have a lot that attracts me. The only thing in this world that attracts me are the people in it. Rich or poor, young and old, black or white, whoever they might be. It's the people. It's the people in it that are of extraordinary value to God. This planet's going to pass away. People won't. They live forever. And God so much yearns for each and every human being to know Him, to experience His love firsthand, to be able to lay your pillow on your bed tonight and know I'm at peace with God. I have peace in my heart. God has given me a fresh start in my life, a better start than I ever had before. God has forgiven me. He's cleaned me out. He's made me new. God takes away our guilt. And He gives us a brand new way to live. For those of you who have been reading the Bible without God, it won't make sense. But when you read the Bible with God inside of you, when you embrace Jesus Christ and He comes and lives in you, all of a sudden the person is in there who you need to comprehend His words. For the Bible tells us in Corinthians, we've been given the mind of Christ. And all of a sudden, you see life from a whole different perspective. I'm laying up treasure in heaven. I did a message once entitled, "You Can Take It All With You." When you know Christ, whatever we do for Him, we go to. It stores up in heaven. It's a rich reward. My investment is there, not here. For the things of this world, Jesus said, are passing away. And they don't last. But he who does the will of God abides forever. I want to encourage you tonight to take control of your eternity. To take control of your permanent destiny. Don't leave it to chance. Don't think to yourself that maybe, just maybe, next year I'll make this decision. I don't say this to scare you, I only say this to help you wake up to reality. Next year simply may not come. It just may not for a variety of reasons. You have your opportunity tonight. God is speaking to you tonight. God wants you. You're the only thing that matters to God. Everything He did is for you. You matter supremely to God. He wants you. He's done everything He can for you. All He asks of you is an invitation. All He asks of you is to say yes to His proposal. All He asks you to do is bow your heart and say, "You are Lord. You died for me. And if you say that I can have eternal life by accepting your Son, then I want you in my life." As we close tonight and bow our heads, I want to ask you, if you don't know Christ, if you've been vacillating, Maybe you were raised in a real religious home. Maybe you heard about God. Maybe you were even baptized. But you have never personally invited Christ into your life and begun that personal relationship with Him. If you're not sure tonight that if this was your last day on earth, that you know exactly where you spend eternity, that you know exactly where it is you're going to go, then I want to ask you, as I pray, you pray. God can hear you at the same time He's listening to me. You don't have to pray out loud. You just invite Him into your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, please come into my life. Come into my life and change my life. Take control of my life. Forgive me. I want you. I want what you have. And God will begin to change your life. He promises to do that. And He never lies. He promised that He's building a home for you. And someday, quite possibly before you and I see death, He'll come back for you. You have something wonderful to look forward to when you have Christ. Lord, thank You so much for the riches of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, there's no human words that I could come up with to do justice to Your extraordinary gift. I wish with all my heart, Lord, with everything that's in me, that I could make this decision for every single person. But I can't. And You can't. It's their decision. It's their choice. It's an opportunity of a lifetime to live forever, to have God on your side, to have God involved in our life. It's the most extraordinary opportunity in the world. You heal our relationships. You can change our families. You can make us people that we're not today. But only if we'll invite You in. I just pray, Lord, that You'd give each person here tonight who does not know You, is not sure they know You, young or old, the courage to make that decision. Lord, You've never harmed one individual who's ever put their faith in You. You've never let them down. You've never turned Your back on them. You've never betrayed them. You always lead us in a wonderful way, even though we may not understand it all. Even though we may have our questions. I would rather have a few questions, Lord, than to live my life without You in it. Thank You so much, Jesus, that You are willing to die for me and for each and every person here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.